Today's shir is Masechta Matzia Daf Pei Tes. We will begin on Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph at the end of the sixth line, Tana Rabbanan. We've been learning the halachas that, as we learned that in the previous shir, are actually connected. One halacha applies to a person who's working on a field as he's picking the fruits and vegetables, grain. The Torah says he's entitled to eat from what he's picking. And then there's a halacha that applies to an animal. That we're not allowed to muzzle an animal as it's threshing. Again, that it's allowed to eat the produce that it's working on. And as we learned at the end of the previous year, the Torah is makish, the animal to the person. So the halachas that we learn from the parish by the animal, we apply to the human, and vice versa. So as I just said, the wording that the Torah uses by an animal is like sachsim shor b'dishoy. The Torah uses the word dishoy, threshing. And the Gemara now quotes brises, what is learned from the word daish. Daish, says the Gemara, daish, dove miyuchad, Daish miyuchad davish gedule karka. You thresh something that grows from the ground, and that's where poil oichaboy, a worker, gets to eat from that produce. Af kol shigdule karka poil oichaboy. So too, anything this din that we've been learning about applies to something that grows from the ground, and therefore yotza or exclude a choylev. Somebody's milking a cow from chabitz. Chabitz is when you make milk into solids, you have the curds, the solids, and you have the liquid, the whey. And separating the liquid from the solid is called a mechabitz. The mechabitz is actually making cheese, squeezing together the solids. Shein gedulei karka. So obviously, these are not produce that grow from the ground. It's milk, and therefore vein poil oichaboy. And therefore the din doesn't apply to a worker. Although it is important to note that although the din d'oraisa that we've been learning and we'll continue discussing about a person working on the field or an animal doesn't apply to something that's not growing from the field, the halacha still remains that if I have a worker working for me, the halacha typically comes up with a waiter or some or kitchen staff, that I should allow them to eat from the food that they're preparing, not because of this din, rather because it's difficult to have a person work with food and not allow him to eat from it. Ask the Gemara, why do we need a limud of dayush to tell me that this is not something that a worker is entitled to eat from when he's milking, etc.? Let's learn the pasuk that teaches us the halacha that a worker is allowed to eat from what he's working on the field. The pasuk says, ki sava mikerem re'echa. Talking about a vineyard, nafka. So why would I have a havamina that cheese, milk, he's entitled to get? Answers the Gemara Itzrach. Sagadat chamina. Hoyel v'ksif kama. Since the Torah, as we said earlier, uses the word kama about in teaching us this halacha, so I would say, l'rabbis kobali kama. That I would say that the word kama comes to teach us that anything that's standing, l'rabbis nami midi delav v'duli karka, something that's standing. So an animal is standing. Kamash mon. That's why the Braisa teaches us that kama means, in this case, something that's actually growing from the ground, not something that's standing. As Taisfus, we learned the Gemara Masechta Erevin. The Gemara Masechta Erevin says that when we redeem Maisi Sheni produce, and we bring it to Yerushalayim, and we're allowed to spend it on food items. So the Gemara says, Masechta Erevin, we could only use it for gedulei karka, something that grows from the ground. But the Gemara says there that animals are included in the category of gedulei karka. Because what do animals live off? They live off what grows from the ground. So Taisa says we have here a difficult situation. Our Gemara says that animals are not included in something that grows from the ground. Yet the Gemara Masechta Erevin says that animals are included in gedulei karka. So how do we understand these Gemaras? So Taisus answers, it's is and it isn't. That's what Tosfos essentially is saying. An animal is certainly not something that grows from the ground. It lives off what grows from the ground. So if the Torah here uses the word kama, actually something growing from the ground, an animal is not growing from the ground. But that doesn't mean it doesn't live off the ground, and that's why it's not included in this thing. Tanidach, another brisa, Daish, Ma Daish Miyucha Davish B'Shas Gemar Malacha Oichaboy, is referring to at the end of the process, Af Kosh B'Shas Gemar Malacha, only some activity that the worker does when he's picking the fruits or vegetables, when they're finished, that's where Pail Oichaboy. Yotza, Hamnachish B'Shumim B'Tzalim, somebody who picks weeds out by the garlic or the onions, Hoyel v'engemar malacha, weeding is much earlier in the process. Hoyel v'engemar malacha, ein pael eichaba. The worker doesn't have the right to eat those vegetables that he's weeding out. Ask the Gemara, again, why do I need a specific limud to teach us this thing? Romali, me'akel yichoy le'sitein nafka. The Pyra speaks about the worker eating. What are the words of the Torah? As you're putting the fruit into the basket, that the worker is allowed to get a eat. So obviously, when you're weeding, nothing's being put into the basket. So it's obvious that the worker isn't entitled to eat those onions, those garlic. Why do I need a pasuk to teach? Why do I need this brisa to teach it to us? Answers the Gemara Lo Tzricha. Afkav the kamashal of ketinim bein alimi. Weeding can be done in one of two ways. Sometimes you just take out the grass. That obviously is not a time when you're picking and putting things into the basket. But another way of weeding is that you have these small onions or these small garlic that will never really develop. And all they do is they take up space and prevent the good onions and the good garlic from expanding and developing. So where a farmer sees these b'tzalim and shumim, he picks them to they're edible. The poor quality, but they're edible. So here you're picking with the intention that you can eat this onion and garlic. So maybe the worker should be allowed to eat this. Teaches us the brisa. Since when this activity is done, it's not at the time of the gemar malacha, at the end of the process, even though it's edible, the worker doesn't get a right to eat those things. Tanyida, another brisa. Daish, ma daish miyuchad, davish lo nigmar malachta. The maisa, it's before the produce has become a chuy of a maisa, pile oichaboy, that's where the Torah gives the worker to write to eat it. Af kol shen nigra malach de la maisa, pile oichaboy. Only something that isn't yet ready, isn't yet mechuy, but hasn't come that far along in the process that the chiv of taking off maisa has kicked in. Yotza, and therefore is excluded. Haboidel betamarim begroigris. If somebody picks, somebody separates dates and figs that are clumped together, hoil the nigger malach the maisa. Since we already have the chiv maisa here, and koyel poil eichaba, the worker would not be allowed to eat from it. So I saw the mefarshim ask the obvious question. There are many rishonim that hold that the whole chiv of Trumas and Maisris is only by the Goncha Tirosh of Yitzarecha, Medaraisa. The whole Chiv is only by the Goncha Tirosh of Yitzarecha, which is grain, grapes, and olives. Not by Tamarim V'Groigris. So what is the Torah telling us a Pasuk? Or how is the Braisa actually saying that I have a Pasuk to exclude these items? Obviously they're excluded, because the Torah doesn't speak about something that there's no Chiv Deraisa. In fact, there are Rishonim that use this Gemara to prove that the Chiv of Maiser Midoraisa is by all Shivas Haminim. And that's what the Gemara is here teaching us, that by all Shivas Haminim there is a Chiv Maiser, and once the fruit had a Chiv Maiser, the din that the worker has a right to eat doesn't apply anymore. That's one way of explaining this Gemara. Another way of explaining the Gemara is a concept that we've discussed many times. Even though the chiyuv of taking off maisris on these foods is only midrabanon, the rabbanon, when they establish a rule, they model it after the raisa. So when the Brice is using Tamar v'Groigris, it doesn't mean that the Pasuk is speaking about Tamar v'Groigris. The Pasuk can't be speaking about Tamar v'Groigris. There is no Chim Medaraisa by Tamar v'Groigris of taking off Trumas and Maestris. But it's Medarabonon. And whatever is the Din Medarabonon is the same Medaraisa, because the Rabbanon established their rules based on the Daraisa, and that's why the Gembraisa used this as an example. Ask the Mefarshim another question. Very fundamental question in understanding our into all of these sugyas. The Gemara says, the Brice is teaching us, that once a produce is mechui b'maiser, that's when the worker is not allowed to eat from it, even though normally he's entitled to eat from the produce. Ask the Mefarshim, why do I need a pasuk to tell us that? Obviously he can't eat from it. If it's mechuyiv to have maiser removed, and the maiser hasn't been removed, it's tevil. Not any tevil. What do I need a limud to teach us that the worker is allowed to, is not allowed to eat it? Of course he's not allowed to eat it. It's tevil. So I actually saw two very different terutzim to this kasha, which really speaks to the heart of the din of the worker being allowed to eat from produce. One terutz that the Mefarshim suggest is that if this brisa's din weren't applicable, then the halacha would be that, yes, the worker's not allowed to eat it at this point, because it's tevil. The chi would be for the owner to make sure that it's no longer tevil, take off the trumas and maestris, and then the worker should eat. One teretz. Another teretz is that, yes, it's tevil. But if this brisa, if this din the Torah didn't teach us, we would think that perhaps the chiv, or the, not the chiv, the right, that the worker has, that he's allowed to eat from the produce, supersedes the Isser Tevel. Yes, normally there's an Isser Tevel, but the Isser Tevel doesn't apply to fruit that he's working on, produce that he's working on, that he's allowed to eat from. What's the nafkamina between these two rutsim? A very fundamental nafkamina. How do we look at the worker's right to eat the produce? Do we look at it as a part of a salary? But the Torah mandates this part. That a worker, besides getting whatever salary he's getting, also gets fruit. So, of course, I can't pay my worker with tevil. So there, we would have to use the first teretz. That if the Torah says that the worker is entitled to eat this produce, I have to make sure, as the employer, to make sure it's not tevil anymore, and then he could eat. Teaches us the brisa, this produce he doesn't eat. That's the first approach. The other approach is not that it's the employer's obligation as part of the salary that he pays the worker. Rather, it's a right that the Torah gives the worker. It's a Torah right that he gives to every worker. And that right, perhaps, would even supersede this tevel. Teaches us the brisa. No. The tevel, once it's at that point, this rule doesn't apply. So ask the Gemara. Here we learn that Aboidu b'tamar b'groigris, asked him of Atanya, we learned another brisa, Aboidu b'tamar b'groigris, poil oichaboy, that does eat from it. So how do we reconcile the brises? Answer to Gemara, Amra papa kitanya hi b'techloni. Which means as follows. Most figs and dates ripen on the tree, and then they're gathered, and that after they're gathered and put together, the chi of Truma Meiser begins, and the brisa teaches us that the worker no longer has a right, no longer has those rights to eat from Tamar Megroigris. But we know what makes the fruit ripe is being exposed to the sun. Some dates and some figs are not properly exposed to the sun and will never ripen on the tree. How are they ripened? They're put into baskets and they ripen in the basket. So those things aren't yet chuyiv and trumas and maestris. So that is before the chi maestr comes in, and in those tamar v'groigris, the worker is indeed allowed to eat, because it's not yet the chiv to eat. The time for maestr hasn't come yet. Another brisa. Tanya idach. Daish. Ma daish miyucha dovish loy migdir malach to l'chala. The chiv chala hasn't come yet. That's when poil oichaboy. Af kol dover shaloy nigmar malach to l'chala. That the chiv chala, which we know we have to take from any dough we bake, poil oichaboy. Yotza, and therefore are excluded, halosh, if somebody kneads a dough, or a makatif, if somebody shapes the dough, va'oif, if somebody bakes the dough, shenigra malachta mechala, at this point the chiv chala is already here, And therefore, a poyel, a worker, who's doing any of these activities, ain't poyel oichaba, the worker doesn't have a right to eat from that dough. Ask the Gemara, the nigrum malachta lemaiser, when it's already considered tevil, because the chiv maiser came already, is earlier than the point when it's made into a dough. And we just learned in the previous brisa that once the chiv maiser is there, the worker is not allowed to eat. So how do we have a situation that because the chiv challah is here, the worker is not allowed to eat from it? He was already not allowed to eat from it from when the chiv maiser came in. V'lay nigra malach to lemaiser already. So why do I need this brisa? Answers the Gemara, like Kashi b'chutz la'aretz askinan. The Brais is speaking in chutz la'aretz, the leka ma'aser, where there is no chiv ma'aser. So the chiv ma'aser can't be the point where the worker loses his right, because there is no chiv ma'aser. So what is the chiv that cuts off the worker's rights to eat? Time when the chiv chala comes in. Ask the Gemara, if we're talking in chutz la'aretz, chala nami leka. The chiv chala m'daraisa is only in Eretz Yisrael. So actually, the Rishonim say, the Mefarshim, not the Rishonim, the Rishash, says the Gemara could have given two other answers. One answer is as follows. It's very relevant, la'aloch l'maisa. If I bring produce that grows in Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, foreign grown produce, there is no chiv trumas ma'isris from that produce. But if I bring flour from Chutz La'aretz, and I bake with that flour, there is a chiv challah. So we could have given that teretz, that the flour was brought from chutz la'aretz. Chiv challah there is, chiv ma'isa there isn't. Or another teretz, is that in the Shemitah year, produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael is considered hefker, and there's no chiv trumas ma'isras. But if you bake a bread with flour, even if the flour is Shemitah flour, again, with the times that you're allowed to eat, with all the halachas that apply to it, you do have to take off challah. So that could have been a teretz, but the Gemara gives a different teretz. El Olam Baretz. We are in Eretz Yisrael, so we have the kasha, so the chiv ma'aser comes before the chiv challah, v'lo kasha. It's referring to the sheva shekivshu, the sheva shechilku. The first 14 years that Klai Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, that the chiv trumas ma'aseris weren't yet applicable, but the chiv challah was. Domamar, Sheva Shekivshu, Sheva Shechilku, those first 14 years, Neschayva B'chala, the Chiv Chala started immediately when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, because the Pasuk says, Kisavo, as soon as you come to Eretz Yisrael, there's a Chiv Chala, V'Neschayv B'Meiser. The Chiv Meiser didn't come until those 14 years were up. Mefarshim ask, why? The Rishonim debate. Why didn't the Chiv Meiser start until the 14 years? So one pshat that I saw is, during those 14 years, all of Eretz Yisrael was considered hefker. And I just said a minute ago, something that's hefker, like Shemitah, there's no chiv trumas ma'aseris. That's one pshat. Another pshat, that those 14 years were, the Mishkan Shiloh wasn't yet active, and the chiv of trumas ma'aseris didn't begin until Mishkan Shiloh began active. Ask the Gemara, we need to understand. We're saying it's the Chiyav Meiser or it's the Chiyav Chala. Ask the Gemara, has nothing to do with Meiser or Chala? Me, the Meiser Kagarim? Gemara Melacha Kagarim. The point is that when we finish processing it, the right of the worker terminates. So what's the Gemara connecting it to Meiser, to Chala? Elam Ravina, Kroich Vatani. We should combine these two Brises and learn the this way. Daish. We're referring to produce that hasn't completed its processing, lemaiser or lechala. That's when poil oichaboy. Av kosh loy nigmar malach lemaiser poil oichaboy. Anything else that's nigmara, poil is not oichaboy. So now we have a very interesting debate amongst the Rishonim. Because what has Ravina done? He's combined the two brises, and he says that if it's nigmar malach lemaiser chala, then the poil doesn't work, and otherwise does eat. If it's not, if nigmar malachta is no longer allowed to eat, if it's like nigmar malachta is allowed to eat. So the question is, what is the cutoff? Ma'aser or challah? Because it's not the same cutoff. Challah you only mechuyev when you turned into a dough. Maisa, you're ready mechuyev when you finish processing it. So which is the cutoff? So I saw four opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion, it's the easiest opinion to quote, is it depends on you. If you decided to use this grain to make into a dough, then we follow the chiyuv challah. If you're not going to make into a dough, you follow the chiyuv maisa. One opinion. The next two opinions are actually two extremes. One opinion is that something that can have a chiyuv maiser and a chiyuv challah, we always go to the earlier time, which would be the chiyuv maiser time. And the other opinion is we always go to the later time, the chiyuv challah time. The fourth opinion, very interesting opinion, is as follows. The chiyuv maiser comes in. So as soon as the chiyuv maiser comes in, the worker stops having the right teeth from it. You have this grain, you finished, as we discussed earlier, miruach, you finish processing it, the chiyuv maisa comes in, the worker no longer has the right to eat from it. Then you take this grain and you decide that you want to make it into flour and ultimately make it into dough. As soon as you take the grain and start making it into flour, the worker gets back his rights to eat it until it becomes a dough where he permanently loses his right. So it's an interesting situation. He loses his right when you finish processing it as grain. Then as soon as you start processing it into flour, he gets back the right until you make it into a dough where he loses the right. Ask the Gemara, Ibailhu, Parl Mash Yav Ba'ar V'yoichel. When we quoted the Brisa in the previous year, the Brisa says, Anovim V'noy Anovim V'dover Acher, that the Torah gives the worker the right to eat grapes, but if you add something else to the grapes to make them tastier, that the worker is not allowed to. Because again, as the explanation always is, you have to balance. We have to be concerned about the worker, but we can't take too much advantage of the employer. And that's what the Brisa says. Grapes alone, v'loya nov v'dava acher. Ask now the Gemara. Apparently, what they used to do is they used to toast the grapes, which made them tastier. And the Gemara's question is, ma'al shiyav ba'ar v'yoichel. Are you allowed to toast those grapes and the worker should eat it? Yeah, toast the grapes. Oh no, I'm talking the grapes and grain. Grapes were also toasted. Look at the bottom Rashi and Amit. So, how do we understand the question? Rashi explains the Gemara's question this way. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to explain the Gemara's question. Rashi explains the Gemara's question that certainly to apply something outside of the grape onto the grape to make it tastier, the Brisa says is usur. Here we're not adding anything to the grape, we're just taking the actual grape and toasting it. So maybe that should be mutter. Or anything that makes the grape tastier, and therefore the worker will eat more of it, should be usur. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara differently. Tosfos says that a grape that's toasted, we don't know what toasted grapes are, but apparently that's the way they ate grapes, a toasted grape is edible, and it's very delicious. You can make it a little better through toasting. So since the toasting doesn't really make that much of a difference, unlike adding a dover acher to the grape, which really makes a big difference, maybe it should be mutter. That's the Gemara's question. Ibailhu, poil mashu yav ba'or v'yoichel. Mi have a kanovim v'dover acher, which the Brisa taught us is osur, oiloi, it's not the same. Toshma, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Rishah Baal Bayis, Rashis Payalim Yayin, he's allowed to give his workers wine, Kadesh Layochla Novim Harbe. You know, it depresses their appetite. Or, Rishayim Payalim Utavu Pitim Betsir, they're allowed to put their bread into Tsir, which again, into some sort of a dip, which gets them to have a big appetite. Which on the other side, Kadesh Layochla Novim Harbe. So you see that they're allowed to do this. Answers the Gemara, Lachshuri Gavra, to do something to the person, either to get him to have a bigger appetite or a small appetite, lo kamaboylon, that it's certainly mutter. Ki kamaboylon, our question, Lachshuri Peira. Here we're not talking about the person, we're talking about the fruit, the grape. Am I allowed to do something to the grape to make it more appetizing? Toshma. So Gemara quotes the following brisa. Pailam Arklan Anovim Barashi Umnishlam. The grapes that are in the front of the row, goes back to something I said early in this year, those are the grapes that are most exposed to the sun. And the more exposed to the sun a grape is, the sweeter the grape is. So we're going to learn that the halacha is a worker could decide, I'm working on the tree, I'm going to wait for it to eat the grapes from the best tree. That's mutter. However, says the Braisa, they're not allowed to toast it. So doesn't the Braisa clearly teach us that toasting is asur? Answers the Gemara, that Braisa is focusing on a different aspect. Toasting takes time. The worker is not allowed to waste a minute. So, of course, he's not allowed to toast the grapes if it's on his boss's time. Our question that we're now discussing is, where he's not going to have to do the toasting, so we won't lose any time from his work, his family will come along to do the toasting. My, what is the halacha? Toshma, lo yahav ba'or v'yoichel, he shouldn't toast the grapes, lo yichma ba'adama, or pray them into the ground, v'yoichel, lo yachrev agabasela, you're not allowed to crush them on top of a stone, v'yoichel, av machrev yad al yad, to crush them with your hands, v'yoichel. So you see clearly that toasting is awesome. Answers the Gemara there again. The factor is hasam mishum b'lutim malacha. The issue is not if it's a permissible activity or not. The issue is that the time taken is certainly usur because you have to work for your boss. Hachanami mistabra, that the factor in this braisa is strictly the time factor, not the actual permissibility or not permissibility of this activity. If you're going to say that the factor here is that you're making the grapes too appetizing, sella my misuki perika. How does a crushing a grape on a stone make it more appetizing? Answer the Gemara, that's not a question. Because apparently when they crushed the grapes on a stone, it made it sweeter. So again, we don't have a raya. Toshma. So Gemara quotes the following brisa. Pyrim shay oidim betainim. They were picking tainim for goidim betamarim. And as I've said many times, in Lashon HaKodesh, there are different words for every fruit to explain that mean picking. So by tainim, the word for picking is oidrim. By tamarim, the word for picking is goidrim. By novim, the word for picking is boitzrim. Or maiskim b'zaisim, and the word for picking olives is maiskim. Hare elam oichlam b'turim, they're allowed to eat, and they're not mechuyv to take off trumas and maisris. Shatar is zichsalahem. Because the Torah, as we've been learning, gives them the right. Repeat them, lo yachlu, but if they're eating it along with their bread, that already is asur. Elm kei notlu, rishus mebal bayis. Unless they get express permission from the owner of the field. Furthermore, says the Braisa, you're now allowed to dip them into salt. Apparently that made them more appetizing. So we see that you're now allowed to dip them into the salt. So Gemara is assuming that just like you're now allowed to dip them into salt, so too should you not be allowed to toast them. Says the Gemara, that's not a raya. Melech, vade kanov medov achadami. As we said at the beginning of this Gemara, certainly to add something to the grapes, the Braisa told us is asur. And it doesn't make a difference what you're adding. And if salt is what makes it more appetizing, salt is asur. Here, we're talking about not adding anything, rather just toasting the grape. That may be mutter. So the Gemara hasn't answered this question. Is the worker allowed to toast the grape or not? So it's a fascinating Ar Sameach. Again, it's worth repeating this Ar Sameach because it speaks to the heart of this whole sugya. The Rambam, our Gemara, didn't pass in the Shaila. So the Rambam says that a worker is not allowed to toast the grape. Why? Because we have here a debate between the worker and the employer. Hamaitzi mechaveroi olavaraya. That rule we have throughout Shas. So if the Gemara doesn't give the worker the right to toast the grape, he's not allowed to toast the grape. But the Lecha Mishnah makes a very interesting observation in the Rambam. He says, wherever in Shas and Halacha, we have this concept of a Moitz Mechaver Olav Araya, there's also a Halacha, Itafis Le Mefkinimenei. Meaning as follows, if you and I have a disagreement that you say I owe you money, and I say I don't, It's your obligation, I might say, all of Araya, to prove that I indeed owe you the money. Otherwise, Bezdin can't say that I should pay you. But the halacha is, itofis, if you seized money from me, my mafkir minei, then Bezdin lets you keep it. So ask the Lecha Mishnah, here too the halacha ought to be, that yes, since our Gemara didn't pass in the Shaila, the worker shouldn't have a right, shouldn't l'chatchila have a right to toast the grape. But if he did toast the grape, he should be allowed to eat it. No different than a tofus lo mafkir minei. Yet from the Rambam, it's mashna that even with the Evid, he's not allowed to toast it. And ask the Lech Mishnah why. So the Tzmeich says a beautiful teretz. The Tzmeich says as follows. I own a field. And when you're in a business, you have to figure what your costs are. So I'm owning a field, and I come to the Daf Yomi Shir, so I know that the worker is entitled to eat the grapes. So I make a calculation that my workers are going to eat this as much grapes as a worker normally eats in the time that he works. And I figure that into my cost. If afterwards the worker is going to toast the grapes, as we're learning an hour shear, then he's going to eat more grapes, then my entire calculation is off. So I made a calculation based on him eating non-toasted grapes, which he's going to eat a lot less grapes than if he eats toasted grapes. The Rambam doesn't allow that to happen to the owner of the field, because that could be his whole profit margin. And therefore, since the person who owns the field made his calculations based on what the Gemara is teaching us, and the worker is not allowed to toast the grape, if he will end up toasting up the grape, you're going to hurt the owner's entire setup, and that, the Rambam says, we can't do even with the Evet. Continues the Gemara. So we learned, the Brisa just taught us that the worker is not allowed to add salt. Verminu, ask the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Hasaychas apoil, la'adu ulakashkis takasazesim, if I hire the worker to work with the olives, hareza la yachra. It's already after the time when it's Gemar Malacha, and as we've been learning the whole shiur, after the time of Gemar Malacha, he's not entitled to eat from the produce. Sachra liftzer, if I hire him to collect, pick grapes, sach limtzer, or I hire him to pick olives, hersach lalakeit, I hired him to gather to pick the produce, hareza oichel potter, he's allowed to eat, and there's no chiv trum semaisers, shezot tar zichzlan. Katsats, achas v'achas, if we made an agreement between the worker and the owner that he's allowed to eat, achas v'achas yoichel, if he picks one at a time that he's allowed to eat without taking trumas and maisers, shtayim lo yoichel, if he's doing two at a time, he's not allowed to, v'sayfus v'melch v'yoichel. So before we go further into the Braisa, there's a machloikas Rashi in Taisus, how to learn this din of katsats. Rashi says that the Gemara is referring to a situation where he's picking the various grapes, olives, produce, and here there was a deal between the employer and the worker that he's allowed to eat, and the price is differentiating between if he's picking one or two grapes at a time. Ask everybody on Rashi, or the Rishonim, this Gemara is very difficult to understand according to Rashi. Rashi is saying that's referring to a case where there was a deal that the worker is allowed to eat. Ask the Mefarshim, ask the Rishonim, what is a deal required? Haven't we been learning all these dafim that the worker has this right to eat? The Torah gives him the right. What is the katsats? And why should it make a difference, katsats? And therefore, all the Mefarshim, we're going to quote Rabbeinu Tam, have a different pshat in the Gemara because of that. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in the Sefer Derech Amunah, tries to explain Rashi. He says as follows. Sometimes you can have the exact same situation, but the background of the exact situation is different, and it'll make a difference in halacha. Let me explain what I just said. Certainly, if a worker is eating produce, because the Torah gave him the right to eat the produce, as we have been learning, the Torah also says there's no chiv to take off trumas and maisrus from that produce. This worker is not eating because of the Torah. This worker is eating because his boss told him, I'm going to allow you to eat. So even though he was allowed to eat anyway, but if he's not eating because of that, he's eating because it's his boss, now it becomes Derech Mekach. And we know that if you buy produce, the Chiv Trumas Maestros kicks in immediately. That's how the stipler, that's how Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains Rashi's opinion. Rabbeinu Tam says the Brice is not talking about this, the way to understand the Brice, we're not going to the case where he's picking. Picking, it makes no difference, katsats or no katsats. The Torah gives him the right to eat that produce as he's picking the fruit and vegetables and produce. We're referring back to the first case of the Brice, where it's already after picking, where normally he's not allowed to eat, because it's after Nigmar Malachtai, tells us the Brice, but sometimes the employer and the employee have a deal that I'm still going to let you eat. There the Brice differentiates that if he's eating only one at a time, he's not mechuyev to take off Trumas HaMaisris, and if he's eating more than one at a time, he will have to take off Trumas HaMaisris. So the Brice says, V'sayfus b'melech v'yoichel. Ahai. Ask the Gemara, in which case are we talking about? Even Lema Sefer, they were talking about the case where the owner and the employee made a deal. Keeping the katzitz, kolech the boy lechel. If they made a deal that he's allowed to eat, so why should there be a din that he's not allowed to add the salt? Elalav, a ratio. It's talking about the ratio, and we still see that you're not allowed to add. Amar Abaye lo kasha. Kamba arutz, kamba chutz laretz. Abaye differentiates between something being done in Eretz Yisrael and something done in chutz laretz. But Eretz, where there's the chiv tumas and maestris, amidah raisa, kovas fista, adding the salt makes it into achilas kva, and you're not allowed to eat achilas kva, peiris ha'aretz, without taking off tumas and maestris. However, b'chutz laretz, where the whole chiv tumas and maestris is not amidah raisa, and not even all of chutz laretz, is there a chiv tumas and maestris, only in the countries near Eretz Yisrael, there, adding salt doesn't make a difference, and you're not mechuyev to take off the trumas and maaser. Lo kavas fista. That's a bias teretz. Amar Rava, and this goes back to something we said at the beginning of the year. Mi kamidid v'aretz kavas fista midaraisa over chutz laretz lo kavas fista umutal chatchila. And the way to understand Rava's kasha is as follows. Rava and Abaye both obviously agree that the chiv to take off trumas and maaseres in those countries and chutz laretz where you have to take off trumas and maaseres is only midrabbanan. But Rava says to Abaye, as we said earlier in our shir, every derabbanan is modeled after the deraisa. So if we're saying in Eretz Yisrael, adding salt makes it into a chilas kva, and makes there to be a chiv of taking off trumas and maisus midraisa, that even though in chutz laretz the chiv is only midrabbanan, still derabbanan fashion their rules after the deraisa. And therefore in chutz laretz should also have the same din that if you're adding the salt, you should have to take off trumas and maestros. Elam Rava, therefore Rava explains the braisa in the following way. Bein ba'aretz, bein mechutz aretz, chada, if you only start off with one fruit, and even if you're adding salt, loy kavas fista. So even if you add the salt, but since you're eating such a small amount, it's still considered achilas arai, and there's no chiv to take off trumas and maestros. Tarti, but if you're already eating more fruit, there kavas fista, and you're adding the salt, that makes it mechuyev in trumas and maestros midaraisa. Tarta, kavas fista. Katsats, furthermore, if he's eating because he's not eating because of the Gemara's what we've been learning, but because that was part of his employment contract, there also, bein sofas, bein loy sofas, it makes no difference. Their salt is not the factor. Rather, if he's only eating one at a time, even though he started off with a contract, but it's so insignificant, he's allowed to eat without taking off trumas and maaseres, shtayim shtayim, since it's based on a contract, and shtayim lo yoichel. Loy katsats, v'loy sofas. Let's say he's not basing his eating neither on a contract, nor has he added salt. Oichel, shtayim shtayim. Then he can even eat two. Sofas, if he adds salt, achas, achas, he could eat. Oichel, shtayim, shtayim, lo yoichel. Vafgav, the notel, rishus mi balabayis, even though he's eating with rishus from the balabayis, ditvelu, lemaiser, the kovas fista. Since he's eating that many, it becomes tevel, and the salt adding to it makes it into achilas kva, and you're not allowed to eat achilas kva of tevel without first taking off the trumas of maizrus. Ask the Gemara. We keep on making a distinction between if you're eating a group tarti or one. Ask the Gemara, tarti, the kovas fista, where do we have this concept that a group makes a difference? The pasuk speaks to you about Klal Yisrael will get together, gather all together by the Mechemes Goy Gemogon. So we see gathering together has a special chshivas and halacha here too. When you gather together, there's a chiv to take off the trumas and maisras that doesn't exist when you're only eating one at a time.